Blog Talk Radio.
America. It's another edition of Health Offline. I'm your host, MD Chai. You'll hear me every Saturday moderating the show, bringing you informative information about various health issues that are of concern to everyday people. At Health Talk Live, this show mainly focuses on people who have various skin disorders, such as eczema, psoriasis, and expertitis, and other known skin critters such as ringworm and minor insect bites. Sell Pharmaceuticals sponsor Health Talk Live, and at XL Pharmaceuticals, we manufacture all natural-based products for the control and management of eczema, psoriasis, and contact dermatitis. We're also heavily involved in the study and management and control of premature hair loss and other issues of the scalp. For more information about XL Pharmaceuticals, please visit our website at www.xcl-n.com. That's xcel-n.com. I want to welcome my co-host today. Gary, are you with me?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm doing very well, fine here. Normally we have another host here, co-host here, Monica, but she has some other business to attend to today. So it's just me and you, Gary, holding down the fort. Think we can have it?
I don't know, man. We're going to miss her insightful presence, but I'll do the best I can.
Okay. All right. For any listening audience, you can call in and ask questions. Our call-in number is 347-202-0758. That's 347-202-0758. Also, if you don't want to call in, you can send us a message through the chat line. The chat line is now open, so we will be entertaining any messages that you may have or any questions you may have, and we'll try to get to them as quick as possible. We're going to be talking a little bit more about what we do here at Health Talk Live on the show. We deal a lot with eczema and other problems of the skin. But we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back in about a minute or two, and then we're going to get into the show. So we'd like for all our listening audiences to stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show. This is Health Talk Live. I'm MD Shai, host of Health Talk Live, and we're here discussing general topics concerning eczema, psoriasis, and contact dermatitis, as well as various issues that people have concerning everyday hair loss, premature thinning of the hair, and even more so some serious alopecia issues that may come up. So you can call us now at Health Talk Live, 347-202-0758. That's 347-202-0758 if you have any questions. Gary, you know, the winter is fast approaching and it's getting cold, and usually that means it's dry, and people who have various skin disorders generally start having some problems.
Yeah, I can get them out of that. I talked to a couple of people who are kind of not looking forward to the winter because they say their face around the lips and the scalp line area tends to crack and dry up. What might be causing that, you know?
Well, there are many things that could cause that. I mean, they could just be prone to dry skin. Some people, because they have an inability to retain moisture, and so when it gets dry, there's differences in what we call in science and meteorological science, what they call vapor pressure. So what it basically means is water is easily evaporated from the surface of the skin, even though it could be cool. So they could just have some drying problems because of the lack of proper moisture, you know, during the whole year. They did not, take fairly good care of the skin, and so there are some underlying cracks in the epidermal layer of the skin, and that allows moisture to escape. I mean, that's the general situation with most people. Then there are other people who have various skin disorders, such as eczema and psoriasis, whereas the immune system is not functioning properly, which has led to destruction of underlying skin tissue, which more readily leads to loss of moisture, which results in dry skin, or severe dry skin. So, it depends upon the individual, but that, in effect, is what's going on, and that's why their lips are dry, and that's why their skin is dry, and they're probably scratching and itching, too.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what, today, for the new people, I mean, I know we started this show, a couple of months ago now, and what I'd like to have you do is for the new people that are just tuning in to Health Talk Live and asking who is MD Shahid and what is XL Nutraceuticals, can you just give us a few minutes about, in the beginning, what caused you to even begin to look at these type of products to help people with these ailments?
Sure. Health Talk Live is the offshoot of XL Nutraceuticals, which is a company that I founded a few years ago. And here on Health Talk Live, we do mainly focus on skin disorders, common skin disorders such as eczema and psoriasis, also wingworm and minor insect bites. We're also, at XM Pharmaceutical, we also, pardon me, research and develop products that also help people with various scalp problems, such as eczema and psoriasis of the scalp, as well as develop products that will help people regrow their hair to a significant part of what they may have already had previously. So that's what we do at XL Nutraceuticals, and that's our main focus here at Health Talk Live. However, we do from time to time discuss various topics of health that may be of interest to our listening audience. XL Nutraceuticals is involved in the constant development of new products, all natural-based products. to address these type of skin elements that I just mentioned. I got involved with this type of research many years ago. Actually, it was a request. My background is in physical science. And for many years, in fact, over 25 years, I was a top R&D research scientist in the petroleum industry. Now, we're going back now to the beginning, some things we discussed earlier and when we first came on the air.
Right.
And I was very efficient in it. I developed a lot of products for major special chemical companies. That simply means that these companies develop special chemicals that went into finished products and sometimes processed products for various companies in the oil industry. Let me give you an example. An example would be gasoline. It goes in an everyday combustible engine. Well, when you run an engine, you use the gasoline, but there are a lot of other underlying factors that go into to make that engine run efficiently. One of them is you don't want it to clog up. You know, the fuel is a hydrocarbon. And because it's a hydrocarbon, when you combust it or burn it at a high temperature, it breaks down and it forms what we call unuseful matter or particulate matter or solid matter. Well, that has to stay out of the engine ports, otherwise it'll clog it up and your car won't run as efficient. Well, I was involved in many research where you develop these type of products to go into the fuel. Certain products would go into the fuel, and these products would help minimize or prevent the fuel from having what you see what's called incomplete combustion, so that your engine would run faster. You probably heard many years ago when Shell and Gulf and Exxon were running all these commercials about Tecraline and SU2000, the gasoline additives. Well, I was involved in a bunch of that research. So I was very good in doing it, and I developed a lot of products. Now, how does that relate to all natural-based products or XL pharmaceuticals? I know people are thinking, well, how did he go from A to Z? Well, many years ago, many of the top research facilities at the university level and in the corporate level was involved in trying to find additives, trying to find fuel blends that would be friendly to the environment. And now you hear about a lot of that today. In fact, it was a big issue in the election, yeah. But we started this work in the late 70s and early 80s, trying to look at, removing some of the bad stuff that goes in the fuse, and some of the fuse themselves that we burn, and trying to come up with something that would not be so deleterious on the ozone layer, which has caused this so-called greenhouse effect that everybody's talking about now. Well, in doing that, I ran across, my research led me into the areas of looking at vitamins and looking at proteins and looking at plant extracts and essential oils and non-essential oils and acids, too, both alike, that could have utility in these areas that we were concerned with. And, there were some interesting results. Unfortunately, the companies were not really interested in pursuing this. And so much of this work got shelved, not only in my particular research group, but I'm sure in other research groups across the country, I mean, maybe even around the world. And so when I finally left that industry, or when I was still in it, but I was getting ready to make my exit, I was a little bit disenchanted, but it was a business. It was just a job. It was, so I was looking at it that way, although the research was exciting. Well, one day I had a friend. I was looking at some other research because from that research, let me kind of fast forward today, some of that research suggested that maybe some of these plant extracts and vitamins could have utility in hair regrowth. And so I started looking at that, and in the process, kind of working on it. And it was taking a long time. It was tedious work. And I had a friend when they said, I see you working on something. And they asked me, and we talked about it. And then this is what you think it may work on my niece. I said, I don't know. I have looked at it in one case and it appears to work, but I need more information, need more time. It's just an interim stage. She said, well, you know, she's 3 years old and she's tried everything and her hair just won't grow. It's in a certain spot. So I said, okay, well, let me talk to her mother. So we talked to the mother and we all agreed upon a scenario, and I had to kind of put down what I thought would be a model for success. I mean, what would be the outcome? And then they had to stick by it. Well, okay, we did it. And maybe about a month later, I saw the person and said, hey, how you doing? Said, you know, my niece's hair is starting to grow back. And I said, it is? Oh, I said, yes. And I said, oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting observation. She says, and even the sores, you know, those sores, they went away in her head like in a week. And I said, wait a minute, what sores? What sores are you talking about? And she says, oh, I forgot to tell you, she had eczema of the scalp.
Hmm.
I said, eczema of the scalp? What is eczema of the scalp? You know, because I didn't know.
Right.
You know, I never even thought about eczema. And she said, oh, the doctor says it's called dermatitis of the scalp. I don't really know what it means or what it is. But that's what she had, but there was a bunch of sores in her scalp. Mm-hmm. And I later found out that the reason why her hair wouldn't grow because she had the sores in her scalp.
Right.
And so that work took me on into, I was so intrigued with it. I was almost obsessed with it. And I just really started studying it in depth. And then the ultimate end was XL Nutraceuticals S.O., and XL Nutraceuticals HGS, and that led to the establishment and the formation of XL Nutraceuticals.
Okay, great.
I'd
just like to touch on one thing because I would now, from what you've told me, consider you to be an expert in the petroleum industry. Is that correct? You have extensive knowledge in that industry.
Yes, extensive knowledge. I am considered an expert.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. I get from a couple of other radio talk shows, I guess I shouldn't name them or whatever, they had had people on there that had had some comments about petroleum jelly and the ill effects of petroleum jelly. So could you just please just take a brief moment and kind of dispel some rumors about it turning into fat and going into your body when you use it as a moisturizer or hair care product?
Sure. You know, as a young man, or as a young kid, actually, my mom put petroleum jelly on us a lot in Tennessee in the wintertime. It gets very cold in Tennessee. It actually snows. And, you know, I had to walk to school. This is a long time ago, you know, so bus transit, school transit wasn't as good as it is now.
Oh, one of those
anyway,
stories.
Yeah.
You
so,
tell your children I
anyway,
had to walk backwards.
Yeah, I had to walk. I tell my kids, they had to sit around listening. They said, oh, here we go again. He's starting up. But I had to, you know, we had to walk to school, and it was cold, you know. Your mother, and not just my mother, everybody's mother, with you know, just moisturize you down in petroleum jelly.
Right.
Now, I never had any problems with petroleum jelly. Okay. But at the time, I didn't know anything. So, you know, that's, you know, we fast forward today. Being in the petroleum industry, and I worked in the petroleum industry for over 25 years, the petrol industry, or what some people like to call hydrocarbon processing industry. And I work with a lot of gasoline, a lot of diesel fuel, a lot of jet fuel. And first of all, I go to various websites. Well, I have been to websites in the past when I started my research, and you see all this information about petroleum jelly and why you shouldn't use petroleum jelly, which is Vaseline or mineral oil. And one of the things I found out is that they're just trying to sell their expensive oils themselves. You know, petroleum jelly and mineral oil is just relatively inexpensive, but per pound, when you talk about the cost of some of these other oils, and they give you all these great reasons why you should get your olive oil and sunflower oil and safflower oil and all these other oils. And they're very expensive. Now, but they never talk about the technical background behind any of them. They only talk about the health benefits. And let me say right now, these oils, these natural oils, or these, because all of them are natural, but many of them are plant extracts, they have very good health effects. So we're not knocking that. And I'm not knocking that. In fact, at XL Nutraceuticals, we even use them. All right?
Right.
But in terms of why you should use them as in certain areas as a moisturizer, you know, as opposed to Vaseline mineral oil, it's basically dispel misinformation, and I'll tell you why. First of all, petroleum jelly is not a byproduct of gasoline.
Hmm.
When you make gasoline, gasoline is made. People think gasoline, you get it from the oil, you separate it out, you have gasoline. No, that's not how modern day gasoline is produced. There's various starting blocks of gasoline. Okay, and in science, we essentially call this when the chemical, petrochemical industry, you know, you try to make what's called a C8. That's what the octane means. You know, the more you can get, the more C8, the higher the octane number. Now, you know, they have take different fractions off of different units in petroleum processing. And once they take those fractions, they send them what they call downstream. It's a term. It's a chemical term. It means downstream from whatever the process, the earlier process, they send it to a generally alkylation unit. Okay, that's another name. You don't have to, you know, it's an alkylation unit, so don't get too involved with the name. But it is, in a sense, the alkylation unit helps in the production of gasoline. That's how they make gas. Once, you know, there is no byproduct petroleum jelly from gasoline. Now, petroleum jelly does come from the oil, it's a cut from the oil itself, but it's an innate substance. In other words, it's not something that's produced in a process. It's already there from Mother Earth. All right? Now, once you go...
Go ahead.
This would be considered, it's be considered natural. It's there in Mother Earth.
That's
going
to be my question. Okay.
Yeah, it's not it is natural. It comes out of Earth. Now, not to say everything that's natural is good for you, because you know there's certain mushrooms that look really good, but you eat them, man, they'll turn you upside down.
Yeah.
So they are natural.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. So you know, but what happens? It goes through a series of purification processes, and once it's purified, it goes through even more stringent purification process, and then it becomes United States Pharmacata. Petroleum jelly. That means that it's good enough to be used in the pharmaceutical industry. Okay? So that's where it comes from. And mineral oil comes from the same similar vein. Okay? That's all it is. But it's not any reaction product or process. Now, you want to say, well, yeah, but it comes from oil. Well, okay. So does yoga oil come from oil? What do you think happened to all those dinosaurs that died years ago? What do you think will happen to all those other various products that's dumped to the ground? All these plants are growing in the earth. What do you think they're feeding on? They're feeding on the same thing that you're feeding on. That's why you're eating them. Okay? So much of that is feeding the minerals in the various fluids that's flowing underneath the earth. It's feeding your whole plant. And that plant is feeding off of the same thing that some of the other plants are feeding off of. And when you get your oval oil and these other oils, certain oils, sunflower oil, you don't go out there and squeeze that plant and the oil just drop out. That's not how it works. It has to be processed. It goes through a similar kind of process because there are a lot of things in all of these plants that are not useful and could be deleterious to human contact and human consumption. So science has figured out a way to separate out the good from the not so good. So all these oils go through a process. Even flaxseed oil, it comes from flaxseed plants, and they have to be cold pressed and go through various processes to extract out the good stuff and leave the behind the stuff that's not so good. Now, as far as petroleum jelly blocking skin pores, we now know that that's also a myth, because science has studied petroleum jelly. And if you go to the XCEL Nutraceuticals website, that's www.xcel-n.com, we have a list of the various sites that you can go to if you look under fiction and facts, or fiction and myths, pardon me. You can go to those links. We have the links there, and it'll give you the actual study where petroleum jelly has been studied, mineral oil has been studied, and the evidence clearly shows that both of these materials do not block skin pores, number one, and their toxicity is no worse off, and in fact, most of the time, better than some of the natural oils that people expound on these various websites and these various health food stores. So the data is there, but you can't go anywhere. I haven't seen anybody yet. I put out the challenge. Find me or go find the information, the research information, where some research facility, not hearsay, not from another website, but a research facility has shown unequivocally that petroleum jelly blocks skin pore, okay? And I'll find you a pig that can fly.
Just don't put lipstick on it. I tell you what, as we get ready to go to break, on the other side, we'll come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. But I wanted to also say to the listening audience, available at the XL website also, is a listing of all the natural ingredients that we use in our products. And it's real interesting to see, and I want to ask you about this when we come back, that in
Okay. In
putting something together for a hair health, you actually discovered a great benefit to eczema and psoriasis, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, we'll take a break, and then when we come back, we'll let you – I want to talk about that a little bit.
Okay. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show. This is Health Talk Live. I'm MD Shai with my co-host Gary.
Hey, how's it going? Hi, I'd like to just take a moment and let the listening audience know that if you are looking for a product, an all-natural product to help in the relief of eczema, psoriasis, contact dermatitis, ringworm, bug bite, we have a product here at XL Nutraceuticals that is drug-free. It has no steroids, no toxic chemicals. There are no cancerous causing creams. product's a fast-acting product. This product is called XLSO, which is for eczema relief. It relieves the itching. It reduces inflammation and repairs skin damage. And I'm here with the owner, founder, and my business partner who helped to create this, and he was just about to explain to us how this wonderful product that really works came to be. So, Shahid, tell me a little bit more about using it on other people, doing a little more research on the eczema psoriasis side of this product that you had created.
Yeah, I will do that, Gary. Before I get into that, we'd like to let our listening audience know that you can call us at 347-202-0758, 347-202-0758. If you have any questions on eczema psoriasis, contact dermatitis, or hair problems such as overprocessing of your hair due to maybe severe chemical treatment, maybe overbraiding or premature thinning or hair loss, you can call us now at 347-202-0758, or you can visit our chat line and send us a message. Well, yes, when we first started off, we did some what I call research work in terms of running studies on individuals that may exhibit certain symptoms of eczema or psoriasis. And essentially, it was a grassroots effort by talking around and asking people, you know, did you know anybody? And eventually, we met various people who had either themselves or younger people in their family who were fighting with the everyday symptoms of eczema. And many of these individuals ranged from very young, early on, it was between about 3 years of age to 75 years old. And they had various bouts with eczema on different parts of their body. Some had it on their hands, some on feet, some, in some of the known common places that people have eczema, behind the kneecap, behind the in the elbow bend, behind the neck, around the ankle. And essentially, after we, knew what was kind of going on, doing some laboratory studies, we began to key in on the various things that could possibly cause eczema. And we began to find out that not only that eczema is autoimmune disorder, and basically let me kind of step back here before I go into this because it'll make it a little easier for our listening audience to understand. Eczema and psoriasis are autoimmune dysfunctions. What that means is that the immune system doesn't function when it needs to function, and then sometimes it functions when it's not supposed to function. In other words, it's on autopilot. It's doing what it wants to do. Not all the time, but sometimes. This is obviously some genetic disorder or some trace back to genetic disorder, at least a genetic dysfunction in the immune system. At least that's what the overall consensus of in the scientific community currently right now. I have some issues with that concept based on our observations of helping people manage eczema. But anyway, let's suffice to say that we found that there are different things that could trigger the eczema, and we built and developed our research and our product development around it. For example, various microorganisms, various bacterial infection. We also found that other organisms, such as yeast and fungus, which are almost in the same class, but a little different, well, significantly different, but they function similarly in the bloodstream. These things could also give rise to triggering eczema because the immune system recognizes that there is an intrusion and it immediately goes to try to contain it by causing inflammation. And the inflammation then leads to sporadic itching. So, I mean, these things are actually not bad. I mean, because this is how the human body protects itself. However, there comes a time when the infection has been contained, the immune system, in terms of the attack on these organisms, should start to shut down. People with eczema and psoriasis, it doesn't shut down. So even though the intrusion may have already been dispelled, the immune system keeps right on kicking. And this leads to ultimately damage to skin tissue, okay, from the immune system itself. And then the person is scratching or whatever, and that just leads to more damage to the outer skin, which causes a break in skin, which then allows new infection to get inside the skin. Plus, it also allows moisture to leave the skin. So it just kind of compounds the situation. So we looked at all of that, and we said, okay, well, what happens? How does the body fight infection? What biological weapons do the body use to fight infection? And can these biological weapons be augmented in some cases? And can they be modulated in other cases? And so, you know, and in order to do that, we have to be able to do that without imposing on the genetic makeup of the individual or the human being. So the only way to do that was look at maybe a way of deactivating, when necessary, some of these biological responses, okay? That would be the safest way and also one of the most efficient ways of managing it. Now, I would like to say here that most pharmaceutical drugs don't attempt to address eczema and psoriasis on that level. They attempt to try to just address the symptoms. So the cortisones or the cortisoids, the synthetic materials that are used, they simply try to manage the inflammation. If you can manage the inflammation, in other words, this synthetic material will attempt to block the pathway that the body uses to promote inflammation to tell you, the person, that something is going wrong. So this is how the drug companies do it. They're not really interested in looking at the how this is going on. They're just looking at it to kind of like putting you to sleep temporarily. That's why the problem never really cured gets better or never really gets to the point where the person can manage it. At Exceptionceuticals, we looked at it from a different perspective on the biological level, and from there, we then looked at, is there anything available, you know, in nature that could suffice or could help what we're trying to do? And we found out that there's very plant extracts. Because I looked at it from a chemical point of view, from a reaction point of view, from my past history in the petroleum industry. And it was simply the same kind of reaction. It wasn't any different. The only question is, could I find something that was non-toxic, that wouldn't be deleterious to the body, that would give the impact that was desired? And the answer was, through many years of research, we did find natural substance from plants and fruits and flowers that when combined with specific amino acids will give you the effect that you need. So we were successful in that.
You know what just dawned on me, and maybe you have because you just said many years. I believe when that the young lady that you helped the child with, that was back in what, 99?
That was back in about 2001. About 2001.
Oh, okay. So now, we're just coming up on close to 10 years of study and research in this area. That is a long time. So now I would definitely consider you an expert now in the eczema and psoriasis contact dermatitis field also.
Well, you know, based on the success rate that we have used this product there, or the basis for this type of product technology, for over, I would say, 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're 6 years running. We have people who use the XLSO, which is for the psoriasis and eczema. We have people that have used the XLSO and use it the way they're supposed to use it, and it cleared up, and they've been free from any flare-ups for over 5 years. We have people that have been free for over 4 years and 3 years. And so based on the results, we have hundreds of testimonials, people who have bought this particular product and continue to purchase the product. And I would have to say that at XL Nutraceuticals, yes, we are experts. And in fact, we are the leader, you know, in helping people control and managing eczema and psoriasis. The small little company we have compared to all the multi-billion-dollar pharmaceutical companies, we are the leader. And we can honestly say that. And the reason why we can say that is because we have converted many of their customers into XL Nutraceutical customers. We always do a background check on and everybody that, you know, that orders our product. We you know, we do a follow-up on them as much as we can, and we find out that they were using this product and that product and their dermatologist and their doctor, and we put all this information in files. And when we look at it, we know now that we are the leader in helping people live a better quality of life who have eczema and psoriasis. So
right,
we are experts.
Right. So what he was saying is not really we do a background check on the people. What we do is we follow up and ask you, what products have you been using? How long have you used them?
Exactly. That's what
type
mean
of results have you been getting? And one, right quick, the difference visually, and because people say, well, what is the difference? Eczema and psoriasis. A visual difference in the two would be what? If I was looking at a person's office, but, you know,
Yeah, eczema is generally will exhibit itself as a dry skin, and it could be darkened, particularly in the areas that you find it, with little bumps, some little bitty bumps, a lot of little bitty raised bumps around in the dry skin area. Sometimes it'll get so dry, it'll start to crack, or it'll begin to look like alligator skin, or like if you've seen, yeah, like alligator skin. You'll see eczema is kind of like that, and you'll see where you can tell where people have really been scratching because it'll be dark in those areas, and a lot of times it's dark. A lot of it is dead pigment skin. Okay, the pigment is not dead pigment, pardon me, but if the skin is dead and the pigment is not being regenerated under normal conditions, and so it looks like a shady, dark area. But a lot of it also is believe it or not, it could be certain organisms that's just laying dormant. Yes, it's just laying dormant. It could be yeast or fungus. And you basically, the drug that you were using pretty much have shut it down, but it's still dormant. It's there. That's why any little thing triggering it, right back scratching again, and it'll become active. Well, in psoriasis, it's a little bit different. It's an autoimmune disorder, but it's a little different. It's related to the production of cells, skin cells, and the production of skin tissue, skin cells. What happens is, in the normal conditions, skin cell turnover is about 30 days, 30 to 45 days. That means you're shedding skin, it sloughs off. You know, you take a bath, you really don't pay attention to it, you take a shower, skin sloughs off. Well, people with psoriasis, the turnover is 3 to 5 days. So it's this uncontrollable production of skin cells. And eventually it builds up and becomes raised, and it's just a red, patchy type of color that you can see. It's dry, too. And a lot of times you see it on the knees, on the elbows, on the scalp. You know, you see it in the scalp. So that's how you can kind of tell the difference between the two. Sometimes if you're not really well versed or have been exposed to eczema and psoriasis with many different individuals over a long period of time, some people tend to get them confused. But you can distinguish the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I had early on was, is it contagious? Because sometimes you see that, you know, on people, and it makes you almost want to itch, especially when you see some of these little children scratching profusely. So that would be a question. Is this contagious, something that you can get from somebody by rubbing up against them or grabbing their arm or anything like that?
Yes. You know, we had a caller a few weeks ago that talked about you know, their young kid going to school, and a lot of the kids didn't want to sit next to him because they could see the eczema on him, and they thought they were going to catch it. So they're like, ooh, I'm going to catch it. Uh-huh. You cannot catch eczema or psoriasis. It's not contagious. When you go to various medical websites, online medical dictionaries, they always say psoriasis is a disease. Many, many years ago, a disease was not defined the way it's defined now, but the National Institute of Health and CDC have redefined it so that you try to make everything a drug, but you really, and that way they can sell more drugs. But in essence, psoriasis and eczema are genetic dysfunctions in the gene that leads to autoimmune disorder, or it leads to skin disorder. So you cannot catch it. Somebody can rub up against you, you're not going to catch psoriasis, okay? You're not going to catch eczema.
Okay.
Okay. One of the listeners says, has anybody ever done a heavy metal body burden test on these patients? In the people that we looked at, no, we didn't do heavy metal testing on them. There is some work that has been done from various researchers around the world on heavy metals and the effect on diseases. And this was taken in consideration. As being an R&D scientist, you know, one of my backgrounds is metals. You know, I know how to, you know, determine metals. I didn't do that much of it later on in my career, but determine metals and various substances, and at the same time, also the effect on metals. And much of my research was designed to deactivate metals or to remove metals from a system. You know, I was involved in a lot of metal research. And so I know from my research studies and from the other studies around the world that metals play a key role in the health of the individual. In fact, you need metals in your system in order for you to survive. I mean, they're the core of enzymes. However, there are certain metals that when used in high concentrations, they could cause a problem. And so XCL Nutraceuticals, SO, and HGS has been designed to control metal contamination, to deactivate any metals that may be the cause of eczema or psoriasis, flare-ups or outbreaks. But you cannot catch eczema or psoriasis.
Okay. Just had another quick question here. I mean, one of the things that I've run into, and I've been with you and a part of this company for a few years now, and there's always this resistance. The first thing people say is, oh, I've tried everything, or what, you know, I've tried everything. Nothing works. I run out of money. I don't even want to try nothing else. And trying to convince them first that this is something new and different that will work. What is it in the pharmaceuticals that has just exhausted everybody?
Well, I mean, again, they sell in the pharmaceutical industry various steroids and for these particular problems. That's the core of their business, and for this particular area is to sell steroids. And you know, steroids, they have they work on a certain level, okay? They work on the level to block the pathways, biological pathways that promote inflammation. Now, again, inflammation is not necessarily bad as long as it's controlled. I mean, when a mosquito bites you, you immediately get some inflammation. Your body has an energetic response to it. It produces antibodies, and then it sends certain signals that recruit what we call phagocytic cells, which then come and destroy or detoxify the intrusion. So that's not necessarily bad. It's the overproduction of inflammatory chemicals that cause the problem. So the pharmaceutical companies essentially sell certain drugs that block a pathway that may lead to an inflammation, thereby minimizing the signaling for itching, which then thereby reduces the urge or the tendency for the individual to scratch, which helps them. The problem is that in this type of chemistry or technology, it doesn't take in consideration the other biological pathways, because every drug is not going to work on every biological pathway. If this is the way you're trying to treat a problem, you're really not treating the problem, you're just treating the symptom of the problem. Okay, so the body is smart. You know, and one of the things in science is that we know there's many ways to produce an end product. It's called reaction pathways. What we do is just try to find the most cost-effective pathway, thereby minimizing the amount of money that's spent. Okay, it's kind of like when I was growing up, my mom said there's more than one way to skin a cat. Okay,
right.
If you can't go. Yeah, if you can't go by this route, you go by that route. So the body will, if you block pathway A, so for example, there's a pathway A for inflammation. The reason why pathway A is the one the body uses, the preferred, because it's the pathway that has the least energy requirements. It's the path of least resistance. So it's going to go pathway A. So you develop the drug and it blocks pathway A. Okay, the body knows that it needs inflammation. So what is it going to do? It's going to start going back and checking its little files and saying, what's the next most efficient pathway? And then it's going to start sending the signals, and it's going to, so the next time something happens, it's not going to take pathway A. It's going to take pathway B. Well, guess what? Your drug is only effective for pathway A. So now the person starts getting inflamed again, start itching again, and the problem's coming right back. So now the doctor has to give a more powerful drug to try to get pathway B. But guess what? The body has a pathway C. Pretty soon you didn't drug the person out. That's why you hear people say, I done tried everything, there's nothing not working. At Exonutraceuticals, we don't try to block any pathways. What we do is augment the immune system. By giving, if your body doesn't know how to decompose, and see, we know the body, and quickly, I know we're running out of time, we got about 7 minutes, but I want to get to this quickly, and when I get into technical, we know that the body recruits phagocyte cells that fight infection. These phagocyte cells basically engulf, they surround the intrusion, or they surround the toxin, and then they decompose it or destroy it by shooting at it. If you can envision in your mind a paintball, what they call a paintball gun, and you're shooting different colors at the wall, well, these phagocytes start shooting at the, you know, and then when they start shooting at the intrusion, they're releasing hydrogen peroxide. They're releasing superoxide anion. They're releasing hydroxyl radical. Now, I'll use a technical term, but this is what's going on the subcellular level. Not at the cellular level, but the subcellular level. And then all these things also, there's proteases that's being released, there's enzymatic reactions, all this is going on trying to destroy these things. Well, when these things, if your body don't know how to do that or do it properly, we have developed, believe it or not, a formula that will help your body learn how to do this. Because the same things that the enzymes, the amino acids, the certain sulfur groups, and we can't go into it because this form, it doesn't lend the time.
Right.
The body, these things go in and they decompose certain peroxides. And then, or once the peroxides, if there's an overabundance of production of peroxide material or hydroxyl radical material, then these particular natural derivatives, extracts, they go in, they decompose, they detoxify. And over a period of time, you know, the body begins to recognize the body. You say, Shahi, how is that possible? Well, you never heard of vaccination? You get a vaccination, they give you a so-called dead virus, viral particle, and inject it in you, and it produces antigens, and the antigens, your body produces antibodies, and you're supposed to be prevention from the certain influenza viruses. The same way about polio, and the same way about a lot of these things that you get vaccinated when you're a child. So if you can accept that, you can't accept what we're saying. Electroceuticals, it's the same concept. The concept is if you give the human body the proper supplements and the proper nutritional needed, it will in time fix itself. Okay. Now, we're not saying it's a cure, but it does go a long way.
That's what I was going to come up with next.
It's not a cure. It does go a long way to help people in eczema and psoriasis with these problems. So that's how it works without getting any further technically on the conversation. That's particularly how it works.
Yeah, and for the listening audience, if you go to our website at www.xcel-n.com, there is a testimonial section there, and it's not just us saying this. People are talking about the XL Nutraceuticals SO product. They're getting great results from it, and as you were saying earlier, we're a small company that manufactures a product that will help you to relieve these symptoms. And we have had some long-term effects from it where people have purchased the product 4 or 5 years ago and still getting relief from what they purchased 4 or 5 years ago. So I just like to say I just know that, you know, God has a place for this company, and one day we will be able to touch millions of people that have this ailment.
Yeah, I'd like to say one more thing quickly. We had another guest that said heavy metals don't belong in the body and essential minerals do. Heavy metals, scientifically, a lot of people don't understand what heavy metals mean. When you're talking to a scientist, you have to be specific about what you mean by heavy metals. Iron is considered a heavy metal. The general public don't consider iron as a heavy metal. You know, but iron is considered a heavy metal. You also have copper. These are called transitional metals that you see in nature. Your light metals, what they call alkali metals or whatever, alkali earth metals. These are like sodium, potassium, calcium. These are metals, but they're also considered mineral compounds. You generally find them in nature as oxides or sulfates or carbonates, and these are minerals, and yes, you do need essential minerals, but you do need iron. Iron is a portion of hemoglobin. I mean, this is no guesswork. We're not rubbing a magic ball and coming up with this. You can study blood, and you can see iron in the heme. There's also copper. There's also some zinc and selenium, and these are all heavy metals. But we got about a minute left. Gary, you want to wrap everything up so we can get ready to get out of here?
Yeah, well, of course. We would first like to thank everybody who's listening and the person that's sending the correspondence through email that are listening to us, and we would like to invite you all to go to our website at www.xcel-n.com, where you will find available to you the XLSO product, which helps in the relief of eczema, psoriasis, contact dermatitis, ringworm, and insect bites. And also there we didn't get a chance to get into it today, but maybe we can do it next week, our HGS, the hair growth stimulator, that is very effective in helping to
exactly
help you have a healthier grade of hair. And we didn't get a chance to get into about what dandruff really is in the scalp. So
we got about a few seconds. We appreciate all our listening audience for tuning us today. I want to thank everybody. This is MD Shai and Gary. And tune in next week and every week at the same time for another edition of Health Talk Live. Have a nice day.
We miss you, Monica.